The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated.
You can open that word to Luke chapter 8, and we'll pick up where we left off last week. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, and we'll go all the way to verse 21. The title of the message is Listening to the Word and Sharing the Word. Listening to the Word and Sharing the Word. You know, we live in a world where people like to talk. You can turn on the television, you can listen to the radio, you can just sit down with people, and people love talking. They love sharing their opinions and their views and what's going on in their life. And you can even get a degree in college in communications. Have you noticed that you can't get a degree in college for listening? Many love to talk, but few people listen well. And very few people listen to God. You know how important it is to listen to God, to hear God? One of my attempts to do so, a couple months back, I guess, I bought some Winchester earpieces here. Can you see them up here? I got them from Walmart. I know what they're for. They're for when you shoot guns. I actually bought them so that when I read my Bible at home, I'm not distracted. When you have five children that are 12 and younger running around the house, you can easily be distracted. And so I bought these, and this was my attempt to try to spend time with God, to hear Him without hearing other things in the background. So I tried it out. And I'm sorry if I start talking louder, because you know how this works. I'm just kidding. I'll try to talk. So I got these earphones, and it worked for a while, because I can't hear you, but I can hear myself. In fact, I can feel my heart beating through my ears. And I couldn't do it anymore, because these things squeeze your head so hard that although you can't hear anything, I felt like my head was going to fall off. So that was my way of trying to hear God, to listen to God in His Word, so that I could better communicate it to others. That was a failed attempt for me. Some people, when it comes time to hear God, they look a little bit like this little boy, and it's not because they're trying to hear from God. It's because, it's because they just don't want to hear anything from anyone. But that's a cute little boy. So up front, let me just give some basic pointers before we look at this text, because we're talking about listening to the Word and then sharing the Word. That's what I think you see in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 21. This is one of those messages that if I was just making up series on my own and I thought I was wise enough or savvy enough to just say, I'm going to do a 4-part series on this and I'm going to do a 5-part series on this. I think if I did that, and usually most people do that, they skip over things in the Bible. They skip over things that are harder. And so this is one of those verses today that I probably wouldn't just do if we did not, as a church, just go through books of the Bible. And I think it's so important to go through books of the Bible so that we're sure that we hear everything that God has revealed to us, everything that He says. We don't want to leave anything out. We want to listen carefully to Him. And so kids, listen up, especially the kids. Look up here. To listen well. Here's just a little, be a good listener. And this applies for Bible listening as well, okay? Eyes on the speaker. All right, check. Mouth is quiet. Zip. All right, here we go. Hands are still. I know, it's tempting to touch people. Brain is thinking about what is being said. All right, there we go. Thinking cap. Ears listen carefully, and feet are still. And here's the thing. I know in today's technological world, I love reading my Bible on my phone. That sometimes what happens is I'm reading my Bible and I'm like engaged with God and I get a text message from Joe and I get distracted. Or I start thinking, what's the score to the Alabama game? And I start looking at that. It's so easy. So if you use technology, that's great. Just don't let it distract you from hearing God, listening to God. And so I've actually given you notes. You can take them out. I hope you got them when you came in. This is another attempt to help you to hear God. And so you'll see that I just put scripture on there and I have a little outline. So I would encourage you every week to bring something to write with and to, as God speaks to you, to write things down and to think and circle things there in scripture. Okay, because here is so important. I hope you hear it. This is my whole point in giving you this introduction is to say, it's so important that you hear God, that you listen to God. So notice why I'm saying this, because Jesus' emphasis is there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Before we even read, would you pray with me? Father, our ears are open. And Lord, even more than our ears, our hearts are open. And God, even now, would you soften our hearts? Would you open our eyes to wonderful things from your word? Would you keep us from being distracted? Lord, would you keep the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures that are here from choking out the word this morning? Lord, would you bind the enemy who would love to pluck the seeds from hardened, disbelieving hearts. And Holy Spirit, would you fill us now? And would you bring about illumination and revelation? And would you teach me even as I teach, oh God? I'm listening to you, Lord. I'm about to read, Father, but I want to listen to you. I'm about to teach, Father, but I want to hear you. And so I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 4 of Luke 8. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9, and when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with repentance. That's where I want to start this morning. And here, Jesus, in his ministry, begins to tell more and more parables. Parables. And so we'll see more and more parables as we continue in Luke. And a parable is a story. It's an analogy. Para means beside, okay? A parable is when someone tells a story to communicate a spiritual truth. The story usually has to do with common everyday experiences and norms that people have. And so Jesus, with a great crowd in front of him, tells this story. We learn other things about this story in Matthew chapter 13. I've got that on your outline at the bottom. And then Mark chapter 4. Because three of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic writers, they all refer to this story, which means that it's very important. And Jesus, looking at the crowd, this great massive crowd in front of him, a sea of humanity, he says, there was a sower. a farmer. And he came out into the field and he began to sow his seeds. I'm going to get in trouble with whoever's vacuuming later. We may need some people to stay around and help vacuum afterwards. There was a farmer and he was sowing his seed. He was broadcasting that seed is what they did. Because he wanted the seed to get in as many places as it possibly could. And he wanted it to find good soil. But Jesus says some of the seed fell on the path. And the path was where most of the people walked. And so even the seed that landed on the ground, a lot of people would just stomp on it. And the ground where the path was so hard, Jesus says, that the seed never sunk in. And so here's what happened. To that seed, there would be birds. I don't know. Crows. And they would come in and they would eat the seed before it had time to even get down into the ground. And the ones that didn't get eaten were stomped on by the people. And so there would be no plant, no fruit. And Jesus says the main point is the soil, isn't it? Because in this parable, the soil represents the heart of people. And in a large crowd that Jesus was talking to, some people's hearts were so hard that when the Word, which is what the seed represents, right? The Word of God, the Word of Christ, the Gospel, when the Word hit their hearts, it didn't stick, it didn't soak in because their hearts were hard. And so Satan, the devil, represented by the birds, would come in and he would pluck it out. There was a second type of soil, a second type of heart that the seed fell on. And that type of soil was rocky soil. And so on the top layer, there was a surface level of dirt. But down below where you couldn't see, there were rocks. Which meant that when the seed went down into the dirt there, it couldn't take root because the roots would be blocked by the rocks. And so it couldn't hit the water table. And if your roots don't connect to the water table below, then even if something grows up, which it might sometimes especially, and it might grow up quicker than the other. And so it comes up really quick. And what happens, because the root system is not established and healthy, the moment the sun comes out, it just scorches the plant. And so there's no fruit, there's no life. And the reason why is because the roots are shallow. And so these would be people, Jesus is saying, who have a shallow heart. They only want happy stuff, fun stuff, good stuff, and they're just not deep at all. They're shallow. And so they receive the word, and notice, did you notice in the text, it says they receive the word with joy. But you know, joy is not a mark necessarily of saving faith. There's a lot of people who hear the word of God and they're like, oh, yeah, that's great. But the shallow people only think about the word as it relates to their personal felt needs. And they don't really get to the depths of their sin. They don't want anybody touching their sin and the depths of it. That's the rocky soil. And so there might be immediate excitement. Yeah, I want to be a Christian. Yeah, I want to get baptized. Yeah, I'll pray that prayer. And they go out. And here comes the sun, and what happens when trials and tribulations and testings come? Because maybe they even bought into a message that the Christian life just makes everything easy. And you're going to be wealthy, you're going to get a better job, your marriage is going to be flawless, you're going to have great relationships, everything's going to be great. And Christianity is just about ease and comfort. It's really about you. God exists for you to give you the best life He can. Now, what happens when you begin to live that out and you begin to actually talk to other people about Jesus or obey His commands and you find out that you get resistance from that, persecution from that? What happens when trials come? What happens if your marriage doesn't get better? What happens if your marriage gets worse because your spouse is an unbeliever? And they don't want you doing this Bible thumping thing, Christian thing, church thing. Wait a second. I didn't sign up for this. What happens if God calls you to do something hard and you do it and it doesn't go like you expected and there's pain and suffering? What are you going to do then? Well, here's what happens to the seed that falls on the shallow ground with rocks. It sprouts up quickly, but it quickly fades away. And so I had a very perceptive student say to me last week. He came up to me after one of my classes and he said, you know, there's a lot of people that tell me that they're Christians. But they live like everybody else, and sometimes even worse. They just live sinful, rebellious lives, but they keep telling me that they're a Christian. And he says, is that possible? And this was a very perceptive student who was asking me a really good question. And my answer is this. Just because someone prays a prayer, says that they're a Christian, might even give evidence of that for a season, doesn't mean that the Word of God, the gospel, the seeds have really gotten into their heart. You realize that, right? This is why it's so important. Listen to me. Here's why Jesus is telling this parable. Which heart do you have? Now, probably, if you're in this room, you probably don't have a hard heart, unless this is one of your first times to come and hear, and then you're going to be gone later, and the devil's going to come pluck it because it's not going to sink in your heart. But in a room this size, and in a crowd like Jesus is talking to, there's some people that really like his miracles, that really like the fact that he's feeding them, that really like this positive message. And so they're coming, and it's only a matter of time for them to realize that following Christ means denying yourself, take up your cross daily, and following him. And so they're going to be gone because their heart was never deeply aware of their sin and deeply aware of Christ and his goodness and his love. Do you see that? There was a third type of soil, right? The seed fell on not only the hard path and the rocky soil. Jesus says there were other seed that fell on the thorny path. The thorny path. And on that path, the seed hit the ground and it sunk in. And it looked like there was growth. It looked like, wow, this person is growing. This is great. But over time, the cares of this life, they weren't focused on God, on Christ, on the gospel. They were focused on the cares of this life. And they're filled with worries. And not only the cares of this life, but the deceitfulness of riches. What they really wanted was to make as much money as they could, to work, the deceitfulness of riches. They thought that in riches they would find life, but they added Christianity to it, and they added Christianity to not only the riches, but maybe their worries, and they added Christianity to the pleasures of this life. They thought that in coming to know Christ, they would get more pleasure in this life, and no pain. And so Jesus says, what happens is that plant comes up really quick, but along with it, there's weeds, there's thorns. And guess what happens to the plant? That wasn't fun. It starts getting choked out. It gets choked out. And so it doesn't bear fruit. And eventually it dies, even though it gave evidence of life for a season. Now, are you getting the picture here? That kind of heart, the first heart was the hard heart, right? The second heart was the rocky, shallow heart. The third heart now is the distracted heart. I mean, they add Jesus, or they add the Word of God, or they add the gospel to all else they have going on. They don't have a singular focus on God and his ways and his Word. They just got so many other things going on. It's hard to focus on God, their Creator, their Savior, their Lord. And so over time, they fall away. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? This is the New Testament teaching of the perseverance of the saints. That all true believers persevere. They continue in the faith. They don't wither away. They don't get choked out. And so the evidence that their faith was genuine and sincere, that they really heard the word of God, is that they keep believing, keep trusting, keep persevering. Right? It's the kind of people that he gives forth, the type of soil. Did you catch the fourth one? It's the seed that falls on the good soil. The good soil. And this soil is a good and honest heart that sees God, that sees his word, his truth, that sees Jesus rightly, that says, I want God, and I'm ready to turn away from everything else because he made me, and now he's forgiven me, and he's rescued me, and I want him more than anything, even if it cost me everything. Who cares? I've got my treasure, and it's him. And so denying myself and taking my cross daily is nothing. I mean, I'm losing my life for him. And so I'll do hard things because I love him. And if he wants me to do that, and by the way, when you love him and you love other people, you will do hard things because to love people is hard. I mean, there's great joy with it, but in this life, oh, the rewards in heaven are great, and that's, we see God, and we fix our eyes on eternal things and the eternal rewards that come with that. But watch this, following Jesus, you might lose health. You might lose wealth. You might gain it, he might give it to you, you might lose it. It's just a matter of what he wants you to do, right? And as his follower, you'll do whatever you want. Whatever he wants. So there's those four types of soils that Jesus tells about. And notice this, that the main point of all of this is the heart. And so it brings me to your outline. All right, 2 points that I want to make about this particular section. Which type of soil are you? Now you may have to think about this for a while. You might want to go home this afternoon and ask that question. What type of soil, what type of heart do I have? Jesus finished and says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And he's talking about hear his voice, hear his word. So many people want to make up, well, hearing God means this, and hearing God means this. No, hearing God means listening to the seed, and the seed is the word. That's how you hear from God. And so, which one are you? Second, I would say this. Those who truly hear the word will believe it and will want to share the word, which is the seed, with others. They will. I mean, if you truly hear the word and you believe it, then you'll want to share it with other people, which is what the next section talks about. Look at it with me in Luke chapter 8 and verse 16. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Jesus continues his teaching. Now, by this time, this large crowd, some people are getting very distracted in it. By this time, some people in the crowd, they're thinking about other things because they're not interested in hearing God's word. And that's just showing where their heart is. By this time, the large crowd that Jesus is talking about, he's like, some of them are like, why the story? Why the parable? That doesn't make sense. I'm going home. I'm bored. Well, but there's others who are listening. And so notice what he says in verse 16. He says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Notice this, verse 18, look at it. Take care then how you, what? Hear. Same thing from the story before, right? Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Here's what happens when someone really hears the word. The lamp of their heart is lit, and it begins to burn. Jesus is using a reference to an oil lamp. And here's what a first century oil lamp probably looked like. First century oil lamps, they had a little hole there, and of course you would pour oil in there, and as a result of the oil, you would light the wick, and it would burn. And so Jesus says, if the light in your heart has been lit, or if the seed of the word has taken root, then here's what's going to happen. Your light's going to shine. It's going to be on display. People will see it. They'll notice it. It'll be evident. There's going to be no doubt about it. And so who lights a lamp and then puts a jar over it? Nobody would do that, because the purpose of the lamp is to shine. Nobody would stick it under their bed. You got your light? Okay, put it under your bed. No? Some of you are like thinking of the song right now. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's a good song, and I think it encapsulates this truth. All right? The light's going to shine. And when the light shines, it's going to expose things. It's going to expose things in people's lives. When the light of the gospel shines in a person's heart, it exposes the depths of their sin, and they see it, and they hate it, and they repent, they turn from it. It exposes their need for Christ, who is the light of the world, and they embrace him in his death, burial, and resurrection, and they begin to follow him. And then their light begins to shine, and they begin to communicate the good news of Christ, the gospel, the word of God, to others. You see? And to those who've been given, and those who receive and then reproduce what they've been given, more will be given. You see how that works? God gives them the word. He gives them the truth. He gives them the gospel. And then they pass it on to others, and he gives them more. And so they grow. On the other hand, those who think that they have something and they keep silent and they do nothing with it are really just giving evidence about their lack of light. And they actually lose more and more and more. Do you get the point? It's the third point in your outline. Maybe this will help. Just to put it in concrete terms. Those who really hear have lit lamps. Their lamps are lit. Those who really hear. And that lit lamp shines brighter and brighter and farther and farther. As they grow and mature, it shines brighter and brighter and further and further. Notice this. It's the same issue with the first parable. The issue is hearing. Hearing. So this is my question. Are you hearing? Are you hearing? Now, before I get to the last point, I want to just summarize things. You ready? Quickly. Because I may have lost some of you. So I'm going to show you a picture of the first story that Jesus told. And remember, it's all about hearing, and it's about the soil. And so here's just a visual to encapsulate what Jesus is saying about the parable of the sower. You ready? It's really not so much the parable of the sower. I mean, we call it that. It's really the parable of the soil, because that's the issue. Which, by the way, when you're sharing the gospel, you can't lose. You don't have to spice up the message. You don't have to water down the message. Some people do. Some people water down the message because they want more people to hear. But those people, they're not really hearing. They're hearing what they want to hear. And as long as you tell them what they want to hear, as long as you itch their ears, then they'll keep listening. But Jesus he's not naive and gullible about where people are. He knows crowds. I mean, we can get a crowd. We can get some teenagers to run around a field with a piece of pigskin on grass with cleats and say, "Whoa, they're fast." And you can get thousands of people to show up. So crowds didn't in and of themselves impress Jesus. We can have a Justin Bieber concert at the Civic Center downtown and get lots of fans to come out there and pack it out and essentially worship him, you know? I mean, that crowds, In our world, crowds impress people because we equate crowds with success. What happens if the crowd that you've drawn is the result of you changing the message or compromising the message or adding bells and whistles and lights and smoke? And what are you doing other than putting on a concert or getting people to perform and you watching them? It's not what... And so Jesus says, look, just sow the seed. Just sow the seed, and those who have ears to hear, they'll hear. And those who listen will listen. Those who don't, Isaiah chapter 6, which is what he quotes from in that passage. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. He says, some people, they'll keep listening and they'll never hear. They'll keep looking and they'll never see. And you can't change that. The issue is their heart. And so, I hope that helps. The farmer, remember, he sows the seed. There's that falls on the path, remember. But it's hard, and the bird who represents Satan comes and eats it, and so it doesn't bear fruit. Remember, the second is the seed that falls on rocky places. There's a top level of topsoil, but the rocks beneath prevent the seed from getting into the water. So what happens? It shoots up quick, but when the sun comes out, it scorches it, and the plant withers and never produces fruit. Right, the third one was among thorns. It sprouted up, but the thorns came in and it choked the plants. And then third, remember, was the good soil, which produced a good crop. Matthew 13 adds, you know, yeah, hundredfold. Now, a typical farmer would expect a tenfold. And Jesus says, well, those who hear, it could be a hundredfold. But then Matthew elaborates, he says, some 30, some 60, some 100. Here's the point. You've heard it before, right? Genuine Christians, I mean genuine, sincere, real Christians, not just professors, they will always produce fruit. Always. It's inevitable. And so does this help? Just the picture of the fruit. We see it all the time because it keeps being a major theme. Just the fruit will always be evident in the life of a true believer. What is the fruit? It's the fruit of attitudes that are different than that of the world. It's not just attitudes, though. It's also actions. Attitudes and actions that are different from the world. One of those attitudes and actions is you actually want people to know the word. And so you begin to share it with others. That's one of the fruits. So if you're not sharing or you don't want to share it, then something, that's it. And it's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. And it's the fruit of growing in holiness and righteousness and purity. Remember, it's true faith, true belief that always produces that. All right? And it's all about hearing. And it's all about shining. Which brings me to the last section that I want you to see. Look at verse 19. Luke chapter 8 and verse 19. Notice the same theme, hearing. Okay? Same theme, hearing. Look at it. Verse 19. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But Jesus answered them, my mother and my brothers, isn't this interesting? Look at it. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Same theme, right? Three separate accounts, parable of the sower or soil, the whole issue about the lamp, and then now, Jesus' mother, his mother and brother show up, Mary, right? Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, Joseph was his stepfather. By this time, Joseph is no longer living. We know that. Remember, when we get to the cross, eventually, it's just Mary who's there, and Jesus actually tells John the apostle to take care of his mother. You remember that. So Mary's a widow by this point, and she comes to talk to Jesus, but the crowds are around. And not only did she come, she came with his brothers. So I guess the Catholic Church is wrong about Mary's perpetual virginity. I don't guess they're wrong. They are wrong. It says right there, he had brothers. Now, they were half-brothers, right? So Mary, like all married couples and Joseph, they had a marriage relationship, and they had more children, brothers and sisters. Actually, you know, eventually... two of those brothers that we know recorded become followers of Jesus, which it's amazing. If you can convince your brothers that you're God, the Son, then that's quite a testimony. in and of itself. And so James, the author of the Epistle of James, and Jude, the author of the book of Jude, are the half-brothers of Jesus. That's another sermon. They come to him, okay? His mother and his brothers come to him. And they want to see him. And here's what Jesus says. Now, he's not minimizing. Of course, Jesus loved his mother, Mary, and he loved his brothers. But, and this is a big but, what Jesus came to do was deeper than blood. It was. It was deeper than blood. And some people can elevate the family above God. And Jesus wanted to be sure that nobody does that, okay? Because you're either going to listen to your family or you're going to listen to God. And sometimes there might be tension in that. Because the brothers wanted Jesus to, they were buying into this buzz that he had lost his mind. And so they're going to try, Jesus, come back. What are you talking about? What are you saying? Don't you know the religious leaders are trying to kill you now? You need to stop talking like this. Okay? But they were wrong. They were wrong. And if Jesus would have listened to them, and if Jesus would have listened to them instead of listening to the Father, he would have not died for your sins and been resurrected. You see that, right? And there might come a tension in some people's lives that following Jesus means you stop following your family. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. And some people are blessed with godly Christian parents and godly Christian children, but that's not always the case. So what do you do when your family is saying one thing and God is saying in his word another? Well, you always go with God. But you're going to find out what's really in your heart. Do you worship your parents, your family? Is blood above the family of God? And if it is, then you won't. And you'll find out who you truly love. And so Jesus says, and it's again, it's not to disrespect Mary and his brothers, but he just straight up says it. He says, listen, this is more than family. My mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God, and not just hear it, do it. You see, one day your children are going to be tested. I'm not talking about ACT and SAT, although they'll probably be tested there. One day your children will be tested. And when they're tested, you'll find out, others will find out what's really in their hearts. By the way, it's not just your children, you'll be tested. But let's talk about your children for a moment. One day they're going to be tested. Does this help? Our kids will face tests, some with a number 2 pencil, but some of those tests will be without it. And you know what a test does? A test just helps people to identify what they know. And there will come a day when you'll be tested in life. And in those moments, you'll find out what you really believe about the gospel, what you really believe about the word of God, what you really believe about Jesus. Now, the difficulty is when you fail a math test, there's another shot, there's another chance. And sometimes when you fail tests in life, there's another shot and another chance. But you see, the tests that you're going to face in life are far more important than your biology quiz. I mean, I don't want to minimize biology. I think you should study science and nature from the right perspective, from a Christian perspective. But why do people spend so much time getting their children, you got to learn, you got to study, you got to think, you got to memorize, you got to do this, and neglect the word of God? Does that even make sense? Like, be sure you make an A in social studies, but don't worry about the book of Luke. Be sure you study, and we want to make sure you You do well in the ACT. You may want to take an ACT prep class because we want to be sure that you do well so you can get in college. So that you can get a good job. So that you can... But never read the word to them. Never get them connected to the body anyway. I mean, just it shows us, right? Now, all of us will be tested. Not just our children, but we will too. And you'll find out what type of soil that you have. And so that's where I'm closing is this. As we've read the word today, and you've reflected on your own life, just be honest. Which soil do you have? Maybe this last little visual help. It's with four hearts. You see people with hearts, and I know it's a cartoon, but just, does it help? This is the first heart. And we're not talking about the organ in your chest, right? The heart in Scripture is the core of who you are. So the first person, remember, is the hard heart. Yeah, you can see it on her face, right? I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to learn. And Satan comes and eats it. The second heart, remember, is just the rocky soil. It sprouts up real quick, but there's no root. There's no depth. I mean, this person just concerned with, what am I going to eat next? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to play? What are we going to do? What's the next pleasure? What's the next joy? All right, here's my video games, all this stuff. We're going to go here. And it just withers. There's no depth. This is the third, right? This person's like, oh, what about tomorrow? Like, I can't. And then I just think I need more money. I need to make more money. I got to be sure I have money. And money and the cares of this life and the pleasures of the world, they just choke it out, never bears fruit. But this guy hears the word, and he doesn't just hear it, he does it, he lives it out, and he bears 30, 60, 100 fold. So that's my question in closing. Which soil represents your heart? Now, the good news is this. Regardless of what type of soil you have today, it can change. And some of you might be here this morning. You might be hearing for the first time. And when I say hearing, I mean really hearing. Where this is not just another thing that you do. God has become central. Well, here, do this. Father, forgive me for my hard heart. Or forgive me for my shallow heart. God, forgive me for my worries and my anxieties and my fears and loving money. Forgive me. Or, God, wrought in me a heart that bears fruit. More fruit. God, I want my light to shine. Just ask Him. Talk to Him. Okay? And as we partake of communion together, if you're a follower of Christ, and as we partake of communion, just lay it all before the Lord and be honest before Him, because eventually everything's going to come out. Be honest before Him and then trust in Him. Trust in Him. Look to Him. And so I'm going to ask Seth and those who will be leading us in music to make his way forward. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And this morning, I want us to, before we even sing, Seth's going to play behind us, but I want us to make our way to the table. If you're a follower of Christ, I want to invite you to the table, and I want you to get the elements and then take it back to your seat. And when you're in your seat, just reflect on what we've seen in Luke chapter 8. If you're not a Christian, then we're glad that you're here. We want you to keep coming and keep listening. And maybe God has spoken to you and stirred in your heart, and you may be saying, I think I want to follow Jesus. And I'd love to talk with you after the service, because the first step in that is to identify with Him publicly through baptism. But you just watch us as we partake in communion together and ask us questions after the service about what we're doing. And so if you're on the front here, you can come to the tables on the sides. If you're in the back middle section, you can make your way there. And then just get the elements, come back to your seat, and then we'll partake of them together. Father, we enter into this time of communion now. And I pray that even as we take the elements, God, that You would continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, that You would continue to uncover what's in our hearts. And Lord, do the work in our hearts that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.